Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I hope you're ready for the latest and greatest home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini.
Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us. We're here each and every week to answer home improvement questions. So if you've got a question about your home, maybe it's a project you're in the middle of, or one that you're contemplating starting soon. I know that's where I am, Danny, and spring's almost around the corner, and I've got some projects ready to go. But in any case, if you have a home improvement question, get in touch with us. We'll see if we can help you out today.
Absolutely, and it's very easy to get in touch with us through the Today's Homeowner Hotline. 1-800-946-4420 is the number you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to ask us a question, leave us a comment, share with us a tip that's worked well for you, and we'll share it with our listeners all over the country. We have a number of those that came in this week, really good tips that we're going to share with you in just a little bit. Also, we love emails, todayshomeowner.com/ask. A little bit later, we're going to be talking with someone that's, and we're hearing about this more and more, about people wanting to soundproof a room or their home just a little bit more. It can be very tricky, but there's a number of innovative ways, particularly a brand new drywall that's being introduced that might just solve that problem for you.
And we also spoke with a homeowner who has a foundation crack, and we hear from homeowners with this particular problem pretty regularly, and depending on where the crack is and whether it's a poured concrete foundation or a block foundation, you know, there are different approaches, but there is a way, there are DIY ways to repair most cracks. Anyway, we're going to offer a couple of solutions to that problem.
There you go. Yeah, foundation, you know, it's so important on any house that you have that you don't want the foundation to be moving, or because a lot of times when you have bulging, a bulging wall is really one of the more serious signs of foundation problems.
Yeah, so, that's bad. When the wall's bulging out, that's serious.
Yeah. So we'll share with you a few things you might need to take a look at there. Also, drinking water. You know, over the last few years, the popularity of bottled drinking water, partially because it's easy to carry it around, but more than anything, it's the big concern that people actually have with the quality of water. And you hear about different municipalities and problems they've had with that. So it is a big problem there. So we're going to cover a number of things that that you need to think about, and some very simple ways to make sure your water is nice and clean.
And I've also got a simple solution I'll share later in the hour, but how to keep your putty knife clean. I've been using my putty knife a lot lately, and use it not only for wood putties, but pretty much everything, glue and adhesives of all sorts and joint compounds. But anyway, I've got a way how to keep it clean while you're using it. It will save you a lot of time in the end.
I'll tell you, one of the things I'm doing, you know, I'm winding up all the loose ends on my house. I think I'll be in there in about 4 or 5 weeks, and a lot of things that have to happen. But one of the things we're doing right now is, it's the perfect time once like 95% of the painting is complete, is to really look at every piece of baseboard, every piece of trim throughout the house. And tomorrow morning, actually, I'm going to be going room to room and making sure that every little defect and flaw that I can possibly find.
Right.
Is taken care of. We'll go ahead and do the drywall compound that we need. Also have some something I've used a lot here lately. I don't know if you've used it very much, Joe, is the powdery water putty. Have you used that for little defects on wood?
Not in a long time. The one that you mix with a little water and then apply it. Yeah, I usually buy the pre-mixed type, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's just so cool how you can just, correct any little divot in some wood.
Right.
Or any little, nick that you may have, because after you finish to a certain point and people are coming and going in and out of the house,
sure.
You're bound to have a little nick here and there. So I'm going to dress all of those things out. Then the painters will be coming in behind me and they'll do the same thing. And that's really a way, any kind of project, whether it's a new house or renovation, when you have it finished and it's clean, then you go in there, and if you can have one person with one color on a brush,
right.
Another person with the other color, let's say the ceiling and the trim walls and so forth, and you go room by room with a good bright light, and you walk out of there, that room is complete, and you don't have to worry about seeing any of these little defects as you live there in your new addition, new kitchen, or new home. So that's one of the things that I've always done, and it takes a little extra time, but certainly is worth it, instead of later on you all of a sudden realize there's something there And also, Joe, I don't know if you know this, one of the key areas that you want to make sure.
What's that?
That it's really in good shape. There's really only one place in your
house. I have a feeling it has something to do with your wife. Go ahead.
No. There's only one place in your house that you may be sitting most usually by yourself. Possibly studying the wall in front of you.
Right, I see where you're going. Hopefully you're sitting there by yourself.
Yeah, so when you have that special moment in the toilet, on the toilet there, and you're looking down, that's where you really want it to look really, really good. I was kidding and telling my painter that one time about that, and I said, if nothing else, I want to make sure from here to here it looks really good. He didn't get the joke at all. But anyway, that is kind of a funny and a special way that you want to make sure those areas look really good.
Right. Well, as a man, you want the front wall and the back wall to look pretty good, right? Because sometimes you're facing north, sometimes you're facing south. So
we better be changing the subject here really quick.
Well, you were talking about going through the house and finding little defects. You know, that's typically called you making a punch list, right? Where a homeowner will come in after the contractor and just make a punch list, because there's always something somebody misses, right? A little spot that didn't get painted or a little patchwork here or whatever. But when you're the homeowner and the builder, guess who has to finish that punch list? You.
I know it. Exactly. And I'll tell you the worst, when we've done remodeling projects and so forth, and usually it's a case where we just have not completed the work and the homeowner's seeing things.
Right.
They get out the Post-it notes.
Oh, isn't that lovely to walk in a house and find 30 Post-it notes? Yeah.
And they take a Post-it note and stick it here and stick it there and stick it. It's like, well, you know, we have another coat of paint to do here, and that will take care of 28 of your 30 Post-it notes, you know. And but people get anxious and want to, you know, get things moving. And also at the end of a project, it can be overwhelming when you're looking around and maybe you've guaranteed the homeowner, hey, by Friday afternoon, we'll have you all complete. Wednesday, they're looking around going, there's no way. There's no way all of these. Yep. And you might have 30 things on the list, but each one of those things only take 5 minutes to correct.
Right. Yeah. So it goes quickly.
Yeah. Right. You just don't realize there's no way you'll be finished by Friday. Just relax. We're going to do our best. And then usually, you know, Friday, middle of the day, you turn the keys over and say, here, it's all finished. I never would have thought you'd get that done. But that's where that careful coordination, list, you know, I love lists, making lists to make sure that you can, you know, very economically run through all of the things there. And I have 7 people working this weekend.
Right.
And I have, I think, 35 things on a list. And I plan on, at the end of the day, having just nothing but a scratched off list. That's my goal.
Right. Well, if you have 7 people and 35 things and they all only take a few minutes, you know, that's doable.
Right.
It seems like 35 things are going to take you 35 days, but it shouldn't.
Theoretically, that sounds good there. But then, of course, as you take 4 or 5 things off the list, you add 2 back on that's something else that you saw. So it's that's okay, though. It is getting close, and I'm looking forward to you.
Very excited for you.
Coming down and helping me move. I appreciate that offer.
Oh, that's absolutely.
Yeah. I tell you, gone are the days that you can say, hey, come on over. I got a few drinks and we'll move in. No, I've seen your house and you have too many stairs. I have a bad back and I'm out of town and several other things. So.
Right. And I can buy my own beer without moving a desk or a box of books.
Exactly right. So Joe, projects around your house. You got a few things. You always have a few things going. What are you focused on right now?
Well, I'm finished priming a room that I just insulated and sheetrocked. In fact, right after the show, I'm going down to Home Depot and buying some paint. I finally decided on a paint color. That is, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I brought home probably 30 chips, paint chips. And I couldn't figure. So finally, I had a good friend of mine she's an artist, and she came, and within 2 seconds, she picked out the color that would look best. And that's right. I'm just going with that. It seems fine to me. But yeah, I'm going to be rolling on some color paint, and then I can start with the ceiling, which is going to be all wood, and then the floor, which is going to be, I'm not sure what yet, but I want to get everything painted before I put in any finished surfaces, you know, so I don't have to drip paint all over.
Yeah, good. Well, we're actually doing a little, I probably never didn't mention to you that here in the studio and in our offices of Today's Homeowner, we're actually doing a lot of painting and revamping here.
Oh, good.
We even tried a little something adventurous, which turned out awesome looking, actually painting the suspended ceiling.
Took down the tiles
and
everything?
Painted it right in place with a high-pressure, low-volume sprayer. And it's actually kind of a platinum color. It's a kind of a dark platinum color, you know, kind of artsy looking.
Yeah,
and then we're doing these special LED wall wash lights that will just put a kind of a cone of light on the walls as you come down the stairs. Wow. So it's, I mean, not the stairs, but the hallway. So it's got a cool vibe to it. And in the front hallway will be things about television and radio and that kind of thing. And the back hallway will be all about production. Even have some graphics like words that kind of raised letters that we're putting on the wall. So it's kind of...
Where's the life-size cardboard cutout of you and me? Is that still in the garage, way in the back?
No, it's all the way on the end down there, right. End of the...
Next to the dartboard, I suspect.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Joe and I are doing something to our houses, offices, and things just about all the time. Once we finish one thing, we're ready to go right to the other. And I'm sure you're that way as well. That's why you're at the right place to get all the information you need so that each and every project you take on at your house will be a success. Hey, stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Home Depot has a secret recipe for new kitchen appliances, up to 40% off appliance special buys, like a stainless steel Whirlpool kitchen package for only $18.98. You get a side-by-side refrigerator, electric range, dishwasher, microwave, and for a limited time, over $1,000 off. Guess the secret's out. Save now on a Whirlpool kitchen, only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only, gas extra, see store for details, valid through February 26th.
Is keeping out the cold on your to-do list? With Duck Brand weatherization products, you can quickly and easily make your home more comfortable and efficient, saving you energy dollars along the way. Duck Brand's affordable product line includes a roll-on window kit that comes in different sizes and strengths, including standard and max strength. These kits create a weather-tight seal with no hassle and no measuring. That's my kind of DIY project. To learn more and find a retailer near you, visit duckbrand.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
And welcome back to the show, the Today's Homeowner radio show that is heard all over this great country on hundreds of radio stations, including this one, KGOZ 101.7 FM in Trenton, Missouri.
And hello to General Manager John Anthony. Thank you, John, for putting us on the air there. Trenton, Danny, is located in North Central Missouri. And its claim to fame is, it's the world's largest producer of Vienna sausages. So take that, New York City, and your Big Apple.
Wow,
how about that,
man? Vienna sausages.
Yeah, they must be producing them by the ton every day. If it's,
I'll bet
the
you
largest.
Have never eaten a Vienna sausage in your life.
I was in a room with one once. Does that count? But no, I didn't. I've not actually eaten a. I'm not a big sausage fan.
That makes me think of. Fishing.
Because you had
Vienna
sandwiches.
I always had the Vienna sausages and saltine crackers, and even threw a can of sardines in there every now and then. And That's fishing.
So you always come home with fish, whether you actually catch any or not.
Yeah, I mean, and if you, you know, didn't want to eat, you know, all of it and everything, you could put it on your
hook
and you could fish with it. So it's a very versatile food. But a special hello to everybody there in and around the Trent, Missouri area. Certainly appreciate you spending some of your busy weekend with Joe and I here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Right now, we're going to go straight to the phones and see if we can help Kathy with kind of a, let's say, a loud question. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Danny. I do have a question, and I am experiencing my noisy neighbors. So I'm interested in trying to soundproof the adjoining wall in my townhome.
Okay, so it's it is a townhome then. So you're basically talking about someone that's living 4 inches away from you, I guess.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, it is very tricky because, soundproofing, the old approach to soundproofing requires you to build almost a separate wall, which is the most ideal way of doing it. But that just causes all kind of problems with openings and that type of thing. Of course, any kind of fabric that you can put on the wall, as far as a tapestry or any kind of thing like that, will help some. But I'll tell you, I recently found out from our friends at National Gypsum, they've developed a sound break product. It's you can go National Gypsum and nationalgypsum.com and look up Soundbreak. But what it actually is, matter of fact, in my new home, I've used some of this material, but they have a retrofit type of piece, which is actually only a quarter inch thick, and it has a little membrane on it, which is the big part of the sound breaking. So basically, on that wall that is common to your neighbors, you would remove like your outlet plates, you'd remove any trim. You install this directly over the wall. Then you want to make sure that you caulk around all outlets and caulk right where the wall touches the floor. You'll want to caulk it so that you're essentially just putting up a shield or a break between you and the adjacent neighbors. Can't guarantee it'll knock out 100% of it, but their statistics
are... It sounds quieter already.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It is pretty impressive, the statistics and the research that they've done on this. And, I mean, it sounds like a lot of work, but, I mean... If you're not
I'm up for the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just a wall. It's not a whole lot of things there. You will have to, you know, do the drywall finishing, but it is something that's fairly easy to tackle. You might get somebody to help you when you're hanging the drywall because it always is a little heavy. But I think I would read up on that and see if that won't help things a lot.
Well, thank you very much, Danny. I certainly appreciate you again taking my call, and you've definitely solved the issue at hand.
Good. Well, thanks so much, Kathy, and I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us.
You also. Thank you.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Yeah, that's a great uh-huh. option, because the only other real option is to tear off all the drywall that you have there, you know, and expose the studs and then start from there. But that's a lot more work. If you can just go over it with a quarter inch and then just, you know, finish it and paint it, and you know that's a lot less work than tearing out the existing drywall.
And that's just assuming that there's that there's insulation in.
Yeah,
that
it might
wall
not even be insulation.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be something, you know, but still, that would require tearing it all off. But hey, let's go right to our emails here.
Right.
Allie in Virginia says, "My husband and I are removing an old chain link fence in our backyard, but we're having difficulty lifting the concrete and metal post out of the ground. I've watched your video on building a fence, and you only use just a shovel to remove it. We don't want to invest in any expensive tools, so is there a trick to getting these things out? Thank you in advance." Joe, I know you've got a great idea, if I remember correctly, on one of the simple solutions, because if you're removing, because that concrete might be even a little bigger at the bottom
than it is
at the top, kind of mushrooms out sometimes like that, that could make it very, very hard to remove. But what about the trick that you tried? I believe it was a simple solution a few years
ago.
Yeah,
was that, you're thinking about the one with the car jack and the chain?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah,
there are a couple of options. Ali, one is what Danny's referring to is first. This was with the old-fashioned car jacks that with the ratcheting mechanism. I suppose you can still find them. Most of them are scissor jacks now, and it might work with a scissor jack. But the simple solution showed the car jack with the ratcheting mechanism. But in any case, all you do is you take a chain, wrap it around the post, and then slip the jack underneath it. And sometimes you have to put a piece of wood under the jack just to stabilize it, and just start jacking up. Once it gets loose, you don't have to pull it all the way out. Once it gets loose enough, you can kind of work it out. Another way is with a lever and a fulcrum. Basically, you screw a short 2x4 to the side of the post, and then use a long 2x4 or 4x4 or something, and you know, as the lever, and you get a fulcrum block that could be just a concrete block, a piece of wood, anything. And basically with a long lever, you can sometimes loosen it that way. But another option is, now Allie doesn't say, she says she's removing a fence. She doesn't say she's putting another fence back in these holes, in which case sometimes you can just dig out down 5 or 6 inches and just cut the post off and just leave it in the ground.
That's true,
you know?
Yeah.
And even if you are putting up another fence, maybe move over 2 feet.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
That might be a better option too.
But boy, it seems so simple when you have a little section of fencing, especially chain link. And you go, I'll just take that down. It'll take about 30 minutes to take that down. And then you start wrestling with it, and you realize that grass is grown through and that the fence, you think, ends there. But no, it's been dirt and sod's been put around it. So it's 4 inches in the ground that's thoroughly embedded in roots.
Right.
And sometimes you're out there battling that darn thing for hours. That can be pretty frustrating. Usually I end up with some type of cutting tool,
yep.
And I cut it up in little bitty pieces just to show it. I'll show you.
I'll show you, Mr. Chainlink.
Yeah. Hey, let's grab another one here. Columbus, Ohio. Tommy asked, our home was built in 1964, still has the original furnace thermostat. I'd love to upgrade it to a programmable smart thermostat so that we can control the heat remotely from work or whenever we're out of town. However, the old thermostat only has two wires, and the new smart thermostat that I bought requires three wires. Is there some way to install this thermostat, or must I run all new wiring? Thanks so much, and I love listening to your show. Thank you very much, Tommy. I appreciate that. What do you think on that, Joe? I thought that it would work with just the two, that basically it's telling it when to turn on and when to turn off. Maybe some of the features of the smart thermostat would not work, but the basic function I would think would work. What do you know about it?
Yeah, well, I know that programmable thermostats will typically work with old wiring, but some of the smart ones that require Wi-Fi, you know, need that third wire, and I'm not really sure why. Maybe there are some that don't, that can work on two wire. But yeah, as Tommy mentioned, the best thing is to run new wiring, but that's almost impossible. So I would try. They do make Wi-Fi thermostats. There's one called Tekmar, Tekmar, and there's one unit that gets mounted near the furnace, and another that replaces your thermostat, and that works. Is specifically designed to work on two wires only. And that solves the problem without rewiring the whole place.
Yeah, there you go. That's one of the things I am not looking forward to going into my new house is reading up and learning all of these things. I've got four different thermostats in the house that will work together, and I have an app for it. Right. And of course, I've got an app for all kinds of things. But the important app, though, Joe, is I have an app that will turn my fish light on and off under my boathouse. So
to attract fish, is that
yeah,
the idea?
Yeah, to bring the fish in.
Oh, great.
You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford along with Joe Truini, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Need help with a project? We've got hundreds of videos to give you a hand. Go to todayshomeowner.com/videos to browse our video channel.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Brohn. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio.
And welcome back to the show. Danny Lipford here along with Joe Truini, and we've got a lot of show coming up here for you.
Hey, Danny, before we move on, I just wanted to mention before the break, I had mentioned that there was a Wi-Fi thermostat by a company called Tekmar, Tekmar, that works off of two wires. So you have an older home, you can use this programmable thermostat. And the model is, I wasn't sure of the model, and I looked it up, and it's called Invita. That's Invita, Invita.
Oh, gotcha.
So anybody interested in that can look it up online.
Good, that should solve that problem. That's great. Hey, it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, How Doers Get More Done. You know, it never fails. When you're hanging a lightweight picture or photograph on the wall, there's always a stud right there where you need to put the nail in. But start trying to hang a heavy mirror or clock, and the studs are nowhere to be found where you really need them. This can be kind of scary because you don't want that heavy object to come crashing down on someone. So you wrestle with wall anchors and toggle bolts. Well, not anymore. The high and mighty picture hanger hangs heavy-duty items without the need of any tools or any hardware at all. The solid steel hanger is designed to minimize wall damage while providing a solid mounting point for wall hangings up to 125 pounds. Simply place it in position, push it into the drywall by hand, and hang your wall decor without any hassle at all. The tool-free cleat works great with wire hangers, so it's the ideal solution for most heavier wall hangings. And for more information on the high and mighty picture hanger, log on to homedepot.com.
What? You push it into the wall by hand?
Yeah.
I got to check this out.
I'll tell you, I saw our friend and segment host Jody Marks on a recent Best New Product actually showing how that works. It's very interesting, very clever. And again, you just hold this little, it's a, you know, I don't know, it's probably 10 inches long or so, and you hold it on the wall and you just push these little pieces in. You can see how they hug at various points into the drywall that will support those heavier objects. So that's a great way to go. See, everybody, I mean, that's another thing I'll be dealing with here is hanging a lot of things on a lot of walls.
Right.
And that was perfect timing for me to find out about the High and Mighty picture hanging hanger, because I'm gonna go pick up a few of those for a few of these heavy mirrors and so forth that we're going to be hanging.
Oh, great.
All righty. Well, we've got a lot more going on here, particularly trying to see if we can solve a problem with a basement. Rich is on the phone with us right now. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Tell us what's going on there and some of the concerns you have underneath your house.
All right. And I've got a full-size basement, and it's got one of those big laminated, you know, wooden beams that goes right down through the middle. And it's got the metal poles that you can screw up and down to, you know, make it adjustable. But pretty much that runs the whole way down along the length of my basement, down the middle. At the one end, the outside skim coat had cracked. And I was looking like, well, what's going on? Why would that crack? And I go inside, and the block, just to, when I'm in the basement looking up at the block at that wall where this crack is, the upper row of block, just the one block right to the left of the beam, has been pushed out, and it's cracked the skim coat. It's maybe pushed out, I don't know, half an inch, a third of an inch, something like that. So, A, I'm sitting there, why did that happen? And B, what do I do? Do I, you know, go get a bottle jack and pop it up and pull that thing out and put it back in, or why?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
So now the laminated beam and the screw jacks that are going down the middle of the house, I assume that was added at some point. It was not original.
Oh, no, no. I mean, that's how it was built. I mean, it's got those big metal poles.
I see.
You know, I don't know, they're like 8 feet tall in the basement or whatever. That was how it was built in the first place.
Oh,
as
okay.
Far as I know.
I got you. Okay. All right.
I've been there 17 years and they were there when I bought it. So.
Okay. Well, a lot of times, anytime you have a crack or something pushing out is a kind of a bulging problem, which means that the vertical load on it is pushing that block out. Now, that could be the case in this situation. I thought maybe that this is what motivated someone to put that laminated beam under there. What do you think, Joe? You think there's anything to worry about here, or do you think maybe putting a bottle jack in there to try to reposition that would be a good idea?
Yeah, I think if blocks cracking and pushing out, there's always a little bit of concern. But Rich, let me ask you, the end of the beam, is that sitting where it meets the wall? Is that sitting in a pocket that they made in the wall itself?
Yeah. Okay. It's like they cut the edge of the cinder block and put it back. It goes back in behind the surface from the front, but I can see. That's it. I can't see, so I don't know what's back there, if it's swelled or shifted or what.
Yeah, but that's the end of the beam. It ends right there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it's the beam itself is, because it's the end of the beam, is putting a lot of pressure on that wall and causing some problems. I mean, the simple solution, which is perfectly good way to do it, is get another adjustable. They're called jack posts, by the way. These adjustable, they're often sold as jack posts.
Okay.
Get another one and put it right there against the wall, directly under the beam. Crank it up, and that will support the end of the beam rather than have it sit on this block, the pocket that they cut in the block wall, just in case that's the problem. And then as far as the block that's bulging out, yeah, I would definitely repair it. I mean, you know, because even if it doesn't move anymore, you don't want it popping out that far and crack, as you said, it cracked the skim coat on the outside.
Yeah.
Water's going to get in there. So that's what I would suggest, is just getting in another adjustment. You can buy these jack posts for about $60 or so, $65, and crank it up there and let that support the end of the beam, not the wall.
Okay. Should I pop the block out completely and, like,
does it seem loose at all?
Make sure there's nothing else.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's shifted. I thought, you know, if I pop it up when I put that extra jack in or whatever, I could maybe loosen it up and then, you know, re-caulk it or whatever, try to re-mortar it or something. It'd be a mess and pain in the butt, but yeah.
If it's loose a little bit, you might be able to tap it back into alignment. So I would take a 2x4, 2x6, hold it up against it on the outside, obviously, and get a 3-pound sledge or something like that, and just give it a few taps. You don't want to cause too much damage, of course. You just want to tap it and see if it starts to move. You might be able to just tap it right back into place. Then, of course, you have to refinish the exterior skim coat and caulk it.
Yep. Okay.
All right, man, good luck.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Rich, thanks so much for being with us, and I hope you have a great weekend. Foundation problems are never fun. They're scary, But so many times they look a lot worse than they really are. So just a little bit of adjustment, a little bit of shoring up is all that's necessary to have a good, strong foundation. Hey, want to remind you about the Today's Homeowner e-newsletter. Go to todayshomeowner.com right now and sign up for it. It's completely free and you'll receive it every single week in your email inbox and be able to kind of keep up on all the things that we're doing here at Today's Homeowner. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinginwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Are you tired of cleaning your shower? Let Wet n' Forget Shower clean it for you. Wet n' Forget is the quickest, easiest way to keep your shower sparkling clean. Just spray the shower top to bottom and you're done. Next morning, simply rinse it clean. That's it. Use Wet n' Forget Shower once a week to tackle soap scum, shower grime, mold, and mildew stains. No scrubbing, no bleach, and no harsh fumes. Don't waste time scrubbing your shower. Pick up a bottle of Wet n' Forget Shower at the Home Depot. For a $2 off coupon, go to homedepot.com/cleaningsavings. Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more. When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486.
Bonding heavy materials to vertical surfaces requires an adhesive with grabbing power you can trust. Titebond's Ultimate Tight Grab Adhesive is an advanced formula with twice the initial vertical bond strength of most other similar adhesives. Just press the work into place and go. Tight Grab, the game-changing adhesive that lets you bond heavy materials to vertical surfaces with confidence. Available at select Lowe's locations, visit tightbond.com for details.
Bath fans aren't just for the bathroom anymore. Moisture and poor air quality can affect any room in the house. Home gyms, nurseries, and craft rooms are just a few places you might find moisture, allergens, and toxins. Poor indoor air can lead to health issues. Braun has a wide variety of humidity and motion sensing ventilation fans, and for the music lover, an exhaust fan with Bluetooth technology and speakers that let you sing along to your favorite tunes. Learn more at Braun.com. Braun Newtone, come home to fresh air.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips.
And welcome back to the show. Danny Lipford here, along with my buddy Joe Truini. And recently I did a live segment on the Weather Channel. I do a lot of things with the Weather Channel, about every week, every other week. And you know, a lot of it is weather related. It's amazing how many things that we do around our home, inside and out, to improve our home really is contingent upon the weather, the humidity, the temperature, all of that type of thing. But also we cover a number of topics that are very timely, and one that we covered a good bit just recently on this segment is all about safe drinking water. It's kind of scary when you think about it. I mean, you have the confidence level of a municipality providing water to the majority of homes in an area, and you say, well, it's got to be good, right? Well, you might want to check on that a little bit, because there's a number of cases all over the country. Certainly in the Michigan area, there was a lot of problems up there for a while. But it's well worth it, because if you, you know, some telltale signs, if you, you know, you're washing your hands with soap and water and they just don't feel clean, maybe almost slimy, well, you might have a problem there. And certainly the color of the water should be clear. Not uncommon to see a little yellow, orange, or brown water from time to time. And also, Joe, you know, the smell of water, right. If water smells, it just can't be good.
No, especially if it smells like bleach. You might have excess chlorine in it. Now, these are for municipal systems. Obviously, if you're on a well, you're not adding chlorine. But yeah, or if it smells like eggs, like rotted eggs, it could be hydrogen sulfide. So that's why it's really smart to request a water quality report from wherever you're getting water from, you know, from the local water system.
Yeah, they're required to provide that to you. Just pick up the phone
and
call.
Free of charge, by the way.
Right, exactly. And a lot of times they'll call it a CCR, which is a customer confidence report. But you really need to look at that, and you can now you can also get home test kits. We actually used one of those on the Weather Channel segment that we did. It's kind of a screening. I mean, that'll show you if you have significant problems on it. But the absolute best is to go online to the EPA site, find an approved certified lab in your area. There'll be one right around the corner from you, I'm sure. And then go get their collection bottle and then follow the directions. There's some real specific things that you need to do when you're collecting that water sample. Then they'll give you a full analysis of everything that's in your water, and you'll know if it's safe. Or if you're uncomfortable with some of the findings, then you can go to the next step. I mean, one step, you see these, have you seen these water pitcher, the water filter pitchers, Joe,
yes.
That you basically
we have one.
Just have?
Yep.
Yeah, I do yep. too. And we put it through the filter and then we put it in the refrigerator. That's one way to do it. Also, you know, the faucet mounted water filters are pretty effective at screening out things. You have to change the filter from time to time.
Right, and you don't have to rely on just a pitcher of water. I mean, it's obviously a constant run of water, so that's really good. And it just, if you're not installed one of these, by the way, you just spin off your aerator and these things screw right on. They're meant to fit pretty much any faucet.
Right. Hardly any tools needed at all in order to do that. And then you also have an on and off switch, so where if you don't feel like you need to filter water, maybe you're boiling some water or something, you don't have to do that. And of course, there's a plethora of under sink mounted water filters that are available as well. And I'll tell you, just about every refrigerator that has an ice maker that also has the water dispenser has a built-in water filter. Talking to some homeowners recently, they had no idea. They've had the refrigerator for 4 years, had no idea that there was a water filter on there. I would imagine by now that water filter is not doing a whole lot of good.
Yeah, that's right. It's probably worn out and it's not stopping anything. And then, of course, there are whole house water filters where you install it right by the water meter or by the well pump where the water's coming in. Every single bit of water, every drop of water gets filtered there. And there's some units that have replaceable filters, and there's some that have filters that you can backwash, so you don't have to continue to buy filters. But okay, so what if you find out that your water is unsafe? What can you do immediately before you address the problem? Well, one, of course, that they always recommend after a big storm or there's a tidal surge that affects water supply is boil any water before using it to kill bacteria. Danny, we can't stress that enough. You know, you might not taste it, you might not see it, but if there's bacteria in it, you are going to get sick. So, and all you need to do is boil it. Boil it, let it cool down, and then you can drink it.
And certainly you can always use bottled water, which
I'm
not a big fan of bottled water, especially when you're out on with the crew, whether we're taping a show or whether we're doing some building, and everybody gets a water, they take it, they get one sip, they set it down.
And then what happens?
Hey, is that yours?
Yeah.
Or is that yours? I'll just get another one.
I always mark my initials on them.
Me too. just like we used to when the kids would get their little juice boxes, we would make them write their name on it so that they'll know whose juice box.
Yeah, you used to go around writing your name on all the juice boxes, though. That's what I
know.
Had.
Yeah, I had plenty of juice. Hey, we also had a lot of great tips that have come in from our today's homeowner hotline. Here's one right now that came in.
Hi, this is Susan in Virginia, and I was listening to your email that you were reading about the man that used to work in a garden department speaking about the kitchen moth, and he was saying the way to do it was to clean out everything. Well, yes, but often they spread to other areas before you know it. One time I found some of the larvae crawling on my ceiling because they had gotten out of something in the cabinet and it had gotten up on the ceiling before I realized there was a problem. So there are these things called pantry pest moth traps, and they are just fabulous. I just keep them in my pantry and any cabinet where you might have cereal or rice or something you're worried about, because you're not spraying anything. It's not harmful. They have pheromones that attract the moth, and they get stuck in them, and they can't lay their eggs, and those things can't proliferate. So that can be a really easy way to get rid of an infestation, too.
All right, Susan from Virginia, we certainly appreciate you sharing that comment with us. If you're having trouble with moths, just remember that, Pantene Pest Moth Traps. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back with some more great home improvement information. Stay with us. Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
There's never been a better time to be a doer. Not with the Home Depot in your corner. And new digital tools on our Home Depot app, like image search. Snap a picture with our app, find just what you need. And our product locator will not only tell you how many we've got, it'll lead you right to them in the store. Oh, and if you can't make it to the store, we can deliver. From time-saving tools to game-changing innovations, it's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at checkinginwithchelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
Looking for easy home improvements? Instantly refresh the look of your bathroom by changing the grill on your bath fan or by adding one with a decorative light. If your mirror stays foggy after a shower, it's time for a new bath fan altogether. The Brone Upgrade Kit lets you convert your bath fan to a new one in less than 10 minutes. In the kitchen, consider replacing your range hood with a Brone under cabinet hood. It's so easy to install, you don't even need a contractor. Learn more at Brone.com. Brone New Tone, come home to fresh air.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
And welcome back to the show. We certainly appreciate you spending some of your busy weekend with us. And every week we work so hard that we're able to provide you the kind of information you want. We don't want it to be old, worn out information. We want to make sure that what we're providing you is the latest and most relevant information for any area of your home. And a lot of times, those little tidbits of information come right out of our simple solution. And Joe has one for us right now.
All right, Danny, here's one on how to keep your putty knife clean when you're working with it. All too often when you're using a putty knife, you know, regardless of what it is, whether it's joint compound or glue, or I've been using it to spread construction adhesive recently, and, you know, it's really sticky stuff. And at the end of the job, you know, you have a putty knife that you now have to clean. So to solve this problem, all I did was I took a piece of clear packing tape. You know, it's usually about, I guess it comes in different widths. The one I have is about 2.5 inches wide. And I just wrapped it around the blade, you know, from one side around the tip and back to the handle. And I folded a little like hem, like a little tab on one end, just so I could remove it easily. And then I just used it just like that. You know, you can trim it if you need to. You can trim the tape so it's flush with the sides of the putty knife. And then when you're done spreading whatever you do, peel off the tape, and the putty knife's like brand new. Saves you a bunch of time trying to clean it up afterwards.
Oh, that's a great idea. And you know, matter of fact, I am going to use that tomorrow morning because I have this water putty that I'm putting on. I also have some Bondo, some automobile filler that I have to put on. And boy, that stuff dries so quickly.
Right.
And then next thing you know, you're scraping and you're sanding the darn thing.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Like my father would always do, he'd go out on the sidewalk and he would just scrape.
Oh, yeah.
That really doesn't help a putty knife's longevity.
No,
or
yeah.
Very much. I mean, it'll clean it.
Yeah,
it'll clean
right.
it, but it is not exactly the way to go.
So what do you use an auto body putty for?
Well, just a few little gouges here and there.
In the woodwork?
On the exterior. It's actually fiber cement on the outside of my house.
Oh, that's a smart product.
And you don't really notice a little ding and dent here and there until it's painted. And now the whole exterior is painted. And, of course, I'm just being a little overbearing here maybe in going along and setting some nails and putting in. Of course, the painter's just shaking his head, just going, what did I get into here? But when it's all said and
that's
done,
right.
I'll be glad that I decked that up. And again, it's kind of funny you think about that. We were talking about that delicate area in your home that you might study the baseboard more than normal earlier in the show. Same way at your entryways. If you're at your front door, back door, whatever that people come, they're waiting there. They're kind of standing there looking around. Oh, let's see what, So you really want it to be flawless, and that's what I'm planning on doing.
And you
want to
be sitting out by the pool some summer and looking at the back of your house and thinking, wait a minute, how'd that nail not get puttied,
I know. And because then what would happen is I would get up out of the pool chair.
Yeah.
And, of course, I can't sit there for more than 20 seconds anyway.
Right.
It starts driving
me crazy. I understand. Yep.
Hey, that pretty much wraps up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. We certainly hope we've been able to provide you some great information that you can use at your home right now. Now, we understand some stations only carry the first hour of today's Homeowner, and if you're listening to a station like that, that's okay. Head over to todayshomeowner.com and you can find out what's happening in the second hour of today's Homeowner Radio. And also, remember our podcast, and a lot of people are listening these days. You can find out exactly where you can download our podcast by going to todayshomeowner.com/podcast. I'm Danny Lipford along with Joe Truini. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of today's Homeowner Radio.
There's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed. Find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.